living our vision, being who God wants us to be. I realize my questions are a little bit outside the ordinary, but I think this will be a useful exercise. I'll just read this introductory paragraphs that I have. The point of this study is to emphasize that we can be the person we believe God wants us to be by choosing to think and act in ways that will help transform us into that person. God is uniquely fashioning each of us for a place of service in his kingdom under the leadership of Christ. By having a clear vision of who God is molding us to be and a clear understanding of our strengths and talents, we can draw upon the power of the Holy Spirit and the strength that Christ gives to make choices and adjustments that will help us transform into that person. There are no wrong or right answers. The idea is a sharing of perspectives which can expand our own views and understandings of living as a disciple of Christ. And I will say that, you know, in my experience in life, in all arenas that I live in, I find that people are not aware that they have as much choice as they believe they have. We have much broader range of choices than we sometimes understand. And my favorite quote on this, and you've heard this before, and this was shared with me years ago by Sister Jean Weeks, is from Dr. Viktor Frankl, who spent 3 years in Auschwitz and wrote this book called Man's Search for Meaning. And in it, he said, "We who lived in concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts, comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. In the final analysis, it becomes clear that the sort of person the prisoner became was the result of an inner decision and not the result of camp influences alone." And another statement along that line in his book is, "Between stimulus and response, there is a space. And in that space lies our freedom to choose." And so we can choose and make the choices to be the person we believe God is calling us to be. And that's the point of the study here. So the questions are just designed to kind of help us think through these and bring out thoughts. So our first question is, and I'll say I'm not going to read the scriptures in Romans, but they talk about the variety of and of the members of the body, and we're all familiar with that. What is the most important thing you contribute to your circle of friends, those within our fellowship as well as those outside? And is there a scripture that goes along with that? Anyone like to share? What is it that you contribute to your circle of friends, either here in our fellowship or coworkers, neighbors? Todd.
I asked him to borrow some of the hair on top of his head, and he wouldn't give it to me. Well, at work, they call me Sunshine, and they say I'm the happiest person they've ever met. And there's probably about 8 people that come into my office and close the door and ask me to help them solve problems. And I always speak out of the scriptures, but they don't know it, because I only quote scripture to those who might be interested in it. But anyway, I think Sunshine, that's one of the things that we can give, and that's what Jesus told us we had. This young man right here, he's got sunshine in his heart, and that smile is letting it come out. So I think Sunshine, we are the light of the world, and we're a light on the top of a hill, and we better let our light shine.
Very good. Thank you, Brother Todd. Who else would have something? What is it that you contribute? Sister Kim.
I want to say that I try to contribute offering prayers. And I've learned in my life what a privilege it is that we have the opportunity, and that this is the one thing. There was a time in my life I would say, I wish I could do more. Or, I wish I could help you. And the Lord, through the word, has really shown me how I can help. Most importantly, is by truly praying for our brethren.
Thank you. Very good. Brother Ralph up front here.
Peaceful. I try to be a peacemaker at work. I used to be a upsetter at work. I try to, when I speak with people that have problems, I try to think scripturally upon it and how to confront that problem instead of cause that problem to be worse. You know, I have a man that talks to me about his stepson a lot, and he has a lot of trouble with his stepson. So I keep trying to have him to stay patient and prevail and keep persevering that way. I don't basically have very many friends other than brethren. Those are my friends. Friends that I had, some are still good friends. They don't come around much anymore, but, there are some that turned away completely. I have, good influence when I do see my old friends, I believe. I would like to, I'll comment again because I have some scriptures I'd like to put in too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ralph. Being a peacemaker and helping people find perspectives to be at peace with their life circumstances, it's a great gift. Very, very, wonderful contribution. Brother Gary.
This is a really neat question because we're all in progress. And I would like to state that although I've been retired almost 7 years, I still work part-time in my old job. And I find I'm able to be a lot better example now than I was before when I was under stress all the time. So it's been a learning experience for me to see how I can blossom from the person that I was before, which was not always a good person. And so in to answer that, I would, you know, it's already been stated a little bit by the others who have made comments, but by trying to be an example of the fruit of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, and try to have a calm demeanor and that's in that working situation. As far as our class and as a class servant, I try to also show that, but to offer a little different perspective when it's appropriate to look into different viewpoints than what is the norm and to try to show, well, someone said this and it seemed like it was kind of a harsh thing. And I tried to step outside and give a little different viewpoint. I'll stop there.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Brother Gary. I see we have a hand online. Sister Lena Turner.
Thank you. This is actually going to segue onto what Brother Gary said quite nicely, which is understanding. And I think really in the current social and political environment we find ourselves in, even among the brethren, the effort to really understand where people are coming from helps not just them, but myself. And I think that's part of the list of things in 1 Corinthians 13 in terms of being kind, of not being judgmental and harsh with others just because they disagree with you, but to try to understand where they're coming from. Over.
Thank you, Sister Lena. Understanding is a great gift that we can give to others. You know, I, for myself, and we were sharing this in a fellowship last night, I have come to the conclusion that, you know, especially when you see people, you know, doing things that you think would be counterproductive in whatever in life or not in their best interests, I've come to the conclusion that everybody pretty much is doing whatever they feel they can to try and cope with life. And maybe you'd say, boy, I would choose to do something different or behave in different ways. But we all come from different backgrounds. We have different genetic makeups. Everybody's doing what they can to cope with the stresses of life. And if we can offer them understanding, that's a great gift. Thank you, Sister Lena. Sister Catherine. Oh, were you next? Sorry. Okay. Brenda, go ahead.
It's a great question, and I had to stop and really think about it. But for me, it's hospitality. Hmm. And I didn't realize I had that in myself, and, always, you know, like, oh, should I invite the brethren? This was when I was a little bit younger, you know, and when I went to Illinois and I stayed at the Hagensick house and I was exposed to Sister Margie and Sherelle, I was like, wow, that is how we should be. And then coming back to Phoenix, I think I've just really opened up myself more to that hospitality. So you're all invited. If you're driving through Arizona, you stop at my house, or I will be upset that you didn't know. But, and Sister Lee Manzik has a key to my house still, so she's still welcome to stop in my house. But being hospitable, I think, and there's a scripture for it. I didn't look it up. But I think that's very important, because I think what ties into that for me is nothing is mine. Nothing is mine. It's all the Heavenly Father's, and to use it for others and to, use that as a witness. That's how I see the hospitality.
Thank you. And you've given the perfect example of why we felt this kind of a discussion is profitable, in the sense that we learn from one another, and you learn hospitality, and seeing their example, it helped transform you into being more hospitable. And that's the kinds of things that we do as a body. We share and provide examples. And, that's wonderful. Sister Catherine.
Thank you. I think this is a great question, and it's amazing how many different things we can do. I was thinking of 2 Corinthians 9:7. God loveth a cheerful giver. And I think that it's way more than just physical things. You can be a giver of listening. You can be a giver of support. You can be a giver of, your time, your energies. Your prayers, which have already been mentioned, but I do try to be a cheerful giver, and it's hard sometimes. We all have those moments where we don't want to do something, but if you have a smile on your face, like Todd said, people will approach you, and you usually can have some, have a good influence on somebody by your cheerful giveness.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And yeah, it can make us approachable. And Sister Debbie Moss, right here in the second row.
Thank you. Brother Paul Malley, years ago, and I think some of you can remember him, he was very intense and very visionary. When I was working, I was saying, I didn't know why I was so compelled with my energy at my work. And he says, what do you do? And I told him, and he says, Sister Debbie, you're learning to reconcile people. You're learning to mediate. You're a mediator. And after that experience, it helped me visualize how to learn to attempt to reconcile. I worked in human services. I was part of starting a fatherhood program, which taught me so much about reconciliation and how poverty causes barriers, and how they deal with it and their challenges. And I learned so much from that. And I do miss that in my retirement. But by God's grace, I got a little bit better. And that's one of my things I'm looking forward to, is if I make my calling next year, sure, even as part of the great company, the work of reconciliation will be bring me great joy. Over.
Thank you very much. Having the ability to do reconciliation, what's better training than that? I know in my working life, I never wanted to be a supervisor of other people. And the way things got maneuvered, I was forced to become a supervisor, and I didn't want to be. I hated it for the first few years, but then I realized God was molding me and training me for skills that I didn't have before that would be useful. And sometimes our jobs bring us right into the training that God needs us to have. That's beautiful. Ministry reconciliation, we talked about that last night. Yes. Brother Derek.
So God has placed me in a position of authority over a town. I'm a building official for the town of Avon. So I deal with difficult people. I deal with $3 million corporate projects down to the $300 roof that needs to go in a mobile home at the end of the community there. And I help people at all levels. What I do with them is I meet them all face to face. I bring them in. And whenever anybody has a question, I always have a meeting with them, a pre-construction meeting. Instead of playing, I call it ping pong with the emails back and forth. You know, I send them a black letter, double-spaced response, and then they bring it back to me with red lines in between, and we play this ping pong game for eternity and never get anything accomplished. So it's taking care of people at all levels that I do in my job. And my scriptures are in Leviticus 19. Like I said, I have to deal with some very difficult people that don't like decisions that I make. Leviticus 19:17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in thy wise rebuke of thy neighbor, not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not take revenge nor bear grudge against the children of thy people, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And I treat people how I want to be treated, which is the golden rule. That's automatic, but that they do notice that and recognize that.
Excellent. Excellent. Dealing with difficult people is one of the most challenging things in life. Yes. Was there a hand back here? Sister Donna.
This is a very interesting question. And for myself, like Brother Ralph, I don't have a lot of outside contacts other than the brethren and my family. And none of my family is in the truth. So with my family, I tend to try to just be cheerful and as accommodating as I can with all of them to, you know, keep things smooth around, amongst the family. But my passion is trying to give spiritual encouragement to my brethren. And I find it very interesting because there are many, many days. I read a lot of various devotional materials, and there are many days when I'm reading a particular devotional that, you know, the Lord will just put into my head, this person needs to hear this. And so that is one of the things that I try to do in my life is share those inspirations when I receive them with my brethren. So that's probably one of my strengths. Over.
Thank you. Encouraging one another with the things that the Lord brings to our attention. Very good. Sister.
I think encouragement with me. I work in a assisted living house, three floors, and I do a lot of we have a lot of end of life residents there. And there are a lot of different denominations, and no matter what they are at the end of life, they all come to one conclusion, that there's a kingdom and there's a God. Whether they believe it or not, at end of life, they do. And so I get to know them very personally. It's not a hospital atmosphere. It's their home, and we treat it as that. It's in a building that was built in 1911. So when they go into their sick rooms, when it's time for them to go, I go in and they ask me to pray with them. And so we pray and I hold their hands and I give them encouragement that God has control. And I give them my thoughts because I can't walk away, you know. So I stay with them. And when they die, I cry for them. So I think Romans 12:15 is rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. So I try to encourage all of them to go to the Lord.
Thank you. What beautiful gifts. Indeed. I don't see another hand right now. Is it Sister Betty? And then we're going to move on to the next question. I'd like to touch on all of them if we can. Sister Betty.
I don't feel that I have many talents, but people seem to be drawn to me, that they confide in me. And so, I don't know, I guess my talent is listening to them and trying to give little, not big sermons or big things of advice, but encouragement and different points of view if necessary.
Yes. Thank you. The gift of listening of being a confidant and giving some kernels of helpful advice. Yes, okay. What characteristics are you best known for? That is, what is your reputation with others? Is this a reputation you embrace? Or do you wish you had a different reputation? And is there a scripture that you would connect with this? What is your reputation with others? How do others know you? Brother Al.
I found those a couple of them scriptures and that goes with this. Hospitable, patient, loving those that give you problems, persecuting you. We have, you know, Romans 12 through 18. And not that I absolutely have that come out in me, but that's what I strive for. I try to be a better person at all times. I run into conflicts, you know, this is outside of the brethren. I am talking. And the only thing, I'm like Gary, I work a couple days a week now with that. I'm retired. And, they asked me to come back because I think that I go to, 13:1 Romans. I'm submissive to authority. I listen and do my job and continue on. And then if there's any troubles, I try to stay out of it. With the brethren, I try to be interactive with. I try harder. I have a problem with the interaction. Sometimes maybe that's not noticeable, but I have bad anxiety. So I fight that. And, I try to be, a better person towards all and interact. Over.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Ralph. You know, mentioned Romans 12:18 and I mentioned last night, that's probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And I will just say on my own part that, for this question that I'm known as a person who strives for peace among people. And so this is one of my favorite scriptures because it says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. How far am I willing to go to live at peace with others? Even those who might consider me their enemy, how far am I willing to go? Yeah, so anyway, other thoughts? Sister Brenda.
For this one, my first thought, my work reputation came to my mind, which is a servant leader, servant leadership. Hmm. And I it's funny how you said you didn't want to lead people, but you went there. And I didn't know any better, but I moved into, you know, leadership roles. And I know there's a scripture that says, you know, be not a respecter of persons. And in my leadership, everybody's important, not the top guy that gets paid the most, which might not be popular to say, but the people who do the frontline work, the people who are on the calls with the customers who are getting yelled at, right? The other staff who may not have a degree, but they're contributing to the daily operations. Everybody is important. And in that role, there was a quote that was said yesterday, a good leader doesn't create more followers. They create more leaders. I love that. I don't know who said that. Yes. I'm going to use that at work, but, the staff that I've managed, they love being managed by me. And that sounds kind of something, but because I treat them with respect and I want what's best for them and I don't keep them under me and under subjection. If they want to move forward, if they want to learn a new skill, if they want to move on to the next thing, I will help them get there. That's how I see my role. It's not about me. And so people over the years, I've worked at the same company now for 21 years and there's people that have been there almost as long. And they're like, if you have a job, Brenda, let me know. I'd love to work for you again. And that's a blessing to have that. I'll stop there, but that's my reputation. And I was going to add actually, for the brethren, if you, I don't know what my reputation is among the brethren. It would be lovely to somebody say, this is your characteristic, Brenda. I see this in you. Cause I don't know what, I don't, I'm sure I have good qualities, but I don't, you don't know, normally people don't say that to you. So that might be a blessing to each other to share that. So thank you.
Thank you, Sister Brenda. Servant leader, boy, that's exactly what our Lord did in the lesson he was trying to teach when he was washing the disciples' feet that last night. You know, I'm your leader, but I'm doing the service. And, that's what I believe ultimately we're being trained to be, you know, for the kingdom work. Servant leaders. Yeah. That's beautiful. Thank you. I see, one hand on, online. Sister Bobby.
Okay, it took me a bit to unmute here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I think to my brethren, I'm known for crying at every testimony meeting because testimonies are so heartfelt and showing and sharing how God works in my life all the time and how he watches over my mouth and teaches me what to say. To the two Christian ladies that live with me in my home, they see me as she's always studying the Bible. She's always talking about God. And also she's always a happy person and she makes me laugh. So I have many faces, I guess, things that I might be known for. I think, probably one of the other things is I try to be well studied for our meetings so that I can be a contributor. That I can add something to our study lessons. So, I think that's probably my strengths, but I'm working on others as well to be more of an encourager to, let my light shine more and to always share my love of God and my passion for the truth with everybody. And most, and a lot of people know me for that because the Lord gave me a blessing or a curse of having a very big mouth. I can't shut up about talking about my love and passion for the Lord and the truth. So anyway, that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Bobby. Are those reputations that you embrace? Part two of the question.
She's still there.
Oh, Shemina, okay. Sister Bobby,
okay. Now I wasn't unmuted. I'm sorry. Yes, those are the characteristics that I embrace for myself. The Lord shows me gems all the time in the scriptures. And as I pray, I say, Lord, let my light shine. Let your love shine through me. And then one day this vision came into my head. I'm a glow worm. I want to glow and glow and glow so everybody can see this light. If you take a lightning bug, you can't wipe out the glow of it. No matter how you crush it, it still stays glowing. So, yes, there are many things I'm working on. So, thank you.
Thank you, Sister Bobby. Yes, being tender-hearted, sensitive, and crying over emotional things, being known as a student of the scriptures, and, oh, yeah, those are wonderful reputations to have. Who else would have a thought? Brother Todd.
One of the things I do is I'm known for in the community. I go to the local high school at the invitation of the mentorship program and give a individual help to 45 students. That the last time I was there was 2018 because of COVID, or maybe it was 19. But anyway, I just got invited back. And the mentorship lady said she has been thinking about me several times over the last couple of years, wanting to get me back in front of her students. And I'm happy about that reputation. And the reason why I think it's good for us to do that, even outside of the fellowship of the brethren, is because it helps us develop our gifts. It helps us exercise our talents. And it really is in line with this beautiful study that you're leading and this theme scripture for the convention. Consider one another and provoke unto love and to good works. So thank you for this beautiful study.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Being a mentor. Wow. what a good reputation I have, a positive mentor of other people. We've got to do it in the kingdom. Good training now. Yeah, wonderful. Anyone else? Well, the microphone is... We'll go with Brother Derek, and then we'll go to Sister Lena.
Well, I guess if you show up for work during a pandemic, you get the hardest worker award. So I kept my department going. Not only did I keep my department going, but I kept the community of employees, workers going. So none of my jobs got shut down. I showed up for work every day, and nobody else did. And people are still using that excuse to not come to work. The town recognized it, and they did give me that employee award. And then the second year I was there, they gave me the baddest award. I'm not quite sure what that means, but in a good way, bad is good now.
Yeah, yeah.
So they do recognize it. When you show up and you actually perform in a government job, there's a lot of people that like to ski and play and ride their bikes, and that's an entitlement they think they have in that position. And I'm not one of those people. I actually give them 40-plus hours a week. Or whatever they need from me. In the scripture, I'm going to read it from the Living Bible, Romans 12, 9, 10, 11. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of the good. Love each other with brotherly affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically.
Beautiful. Thank you. We'll go to Sister Lena Turner.
Thank you. I have loved this study. I wish I had spent more time on it, so I will circle back after convention and study it more. I first of all want to say that I often tell my brethren that I pray that I will be as good a person as they think I am. I know I have a lot of secret and maybe not so secret faults, so I appreciate the love that my brethren show me. I think I'm probably known for being fair and honest and also kind. And the scripture that I found this morning when I was studying was 2 Samuel 22, verse 26. With the merciful, thou will show yourself merciful, and with the upright man, you will show yourself upright, which I take to mean that if we reflect God's goodness and justice, he will treat us the same. Over.
Thank you, Sister Lena. Excellent, excellent reputation to be known for. Yes. Thank you. Sister Jan.
Well, other than being known for my coffee cake, I do what I say I'm going to do. And because we have shared our life very publicly and things that go on in it, there are a lot of people that say, you know, I can tell you anything. I know that I can tell you anything and you're not going to judge me. So I think that is very important. And when Sister Kim and I were having lunch yesterday, I realized that that we all have trauma of some sort. We have situations that we are in. And the situations are different, but the trauma is what binds us together. And that is what the Lord is looking for us to be doing in the kingdom, is to helping the world of mankind deal with the trauma that they have had in life, and having somebody that maybe didn't have the exact same situation, but knew the trauma, had that heartfelt understanding of what they were going through. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. So being able to hear those stories and not be judgmental. As I sometimes have been known to say, I'm not interested in who's to blame. I'm interested in solutions. You know, blaming doesn't do any good, but let's find a solution. Some of you know that, and I've said this before, that I'm a Boy Scout leader. And the other weeks ago, we had our monthly committee meeting, and an issue came up, and the whole committee divided into two sides, and it was entrenched on both positions. And I just sat there listening. All of a sudden, a solution came into my head, and I raised my hand, and I said, why couldn't we do it this way? And wow, both sides said, oh, that's a good solution. So one of my reputations is, I'm not always a calm person, but I have a reputation as being a calm voice of reason in situations that get very emotional and so forth. And just try and diffuse that and find a solution. So, yeah. Where was the hand in the back? Sister Kim.
The other thing I wanted to add in my job is I answer many, many calls, and I try to help patients out at the orthopedic clinic. I'm a part-time nanny too, so I still have my hand in with children, which I still love very much. But at the orthopedic clinic, the two things that the Lord has really shown me and dealt with me personally on is in quietness and confidence will be my strength. I try to be a good listener to the patients that call in. I try to be very patient with them and try to find a solution for them. But with some of my coworkers, I'm kind of the outcast in A, I'm a Christian, and B, I don't fit in with the age group. But I have really, really been shown by our Heavenly Father, there can still be peace amongst all of the chaos, even at work, in the world, and the Lord can still bring us joy. And recently I've had the precious promises in my Bible. I'm reading through 3.5 chapters a day at work and in the Bible, trying to get through the Bible this year and on my own. And I've had people walk by and say, oh, what are you reading? So through all sometimes being alone or feeling a little bit alone at work, the Lord has still given me the peace. And again, the scripture that came to my mind, in quietness, the Lord can give us that confidence and joy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to take a response from Brother Dale Crosby online, and then we're going to move on to the third question. Brother Dale.
Yes, I have a reputation among mostly my former customers and also in the neighborhood of being honest. I have keys to the houses of most of the neighbors. So if, you know, they lose their key, they come and, you know, they know that I can open their house and that they trust me, that I honor that the way it should be honored. Over.
Outstanding. Thank you, Brother Dale. Boy, to have the key to other people's houses, that's a trusting position to be in. And being the Boy Scout, the first point of the Boy Scout law is a scout is trustworthy. And yeah, being worthy of other people's trust, that's really wonderful. I know one time I needed to check out a part I needed for my car. And I went to an auto parts store, and I said, I need to take it outside to my car and whatever. I said, what's the price? I'll give you the cash, you know, to hold, because I could drive off with it. He says, no, you have an honest face. I completely trust you, you know. And so having that somehow emanate from our look, from our manner, boy, what a great, valuable reputation to have of being trustworthy. Number three says, what is the foundational touchstone or value or values by which You evaluate choices and issues and make decisions. What are your go-to scriptures that support this and give you practical daily guidance? Do you make decisions? What's your touchstone? What's the foundational one that helps you make decisions? Sister Pat.
I think I have learned to have, and I don't think this was always the case in the beginning of my walk, but certainly has become my touchstone is what's the will of God in this situation rather than what's my will. Because, so that's to take a pause in situations and think about what the will of God is. And if it's I'm a nurse and I've been in crisis situations and it's been an automatic go to the Lord for assistance and guidance in that direction. And then I was looking at Colossians 3:12 and onward, where it says, put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And then I think also with the brethren, this is easy today, because to know that God has chosen us, and who am I to argue with God with his choices? So to try to see what God's seen in everyone, it's not hard to see those characteristics. But you know, when personalities don't mesh and you're going, this is annoying me, then look at the good qualities. And I actually, that is one of the things when I've taught nursing or when I've worked in managed departments in hospital, is to look at my staff or to look at my students and see their good points and their strong points. It's easy always to identify in students in particular where their weaknesses are. But when you focus on their strengths and you consistently, they can learn to trust you that you're not out to sabotage them or anything else, but you're there, you're on their team. But that you see those qualities and you have expectations, they grow and blossom, and it's beautiful. And I think for me, I've had some beautiful moments in when you put Christ at the center of his love and his kindness and his patience, when you're dealing with people and you use that, good results happen. So I guess it's seeing the good in people. I can ignore the other stuff because it's going to fall away.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah. One along with that, mine is probably John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And, so to me, it's the value of people, seeing the good in them, see the potential in them, despite what outward appearances and mannerisms they have. Brother Todd.
Yes, my touchstone scripture is Micah 6:8. And, it says, what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. And, that's an important thing for us to consider for ourselves, but it also gives us insight in how to discern the influences that are coming into our life. Now, for an employee, if I'm interviewing an employee, I use something similar to this. I look to see if they're humble, hungry, and smart. And I think that's kind of goes off the scripture. But this is this is my touchstone scripture.
Very good. Excellent one. Thank you. Brother Jerry in the back.
What a marvelous study, Brother Tom. It really is. It's an exercise in assessment, self-assessment. And, there's so many thoughts running through my mind. My touchstone would be the Word of God, the Holy Bible. At any given moment of any day, faced with any decision of any kind, there will be a scripture that will give us the guidance we need to. And that's the marvelous part of that touchstone. I believe that, Brother Todd gave us a tremendous insight using the example of Paul on life switches. In a simplistic thought, I believe that we are faced with two life switches all day long, every day. And one of those switches is the Holy Spirit. And the other one is Satan. He's hunting around there all the time. It's up to us to turn those switches in the proper direction.
Very good. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, there's so much. So what the whole Bible, and all the examples.
12:1-2 is my touchstone.
Okay. That's very, very good. The cloud of witnesses that we have to look to. Yes. Very good. Thank you. Who else? Brother Gary. And then, Sister Joan.
Yeah, I don't have a scripture, but, you know, long ago, I hope I learned a lesson, but I started learning a lesson to not be afraid to give of myself in, like, losing a day of my life or a year of my life, you know, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Jesus, 33 and a half years, and he gave of his life so wholly for 3.5 years. Look at our brother Paul, the apostle Paul. We've got all these examples that they weren't worried about, you know, like, oh, well, if I go and do this service, I'm going to lose part of my life and I'm going to die sooner. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give our life. And although, you know, if we have a spouse and we have children that are in need of our support, financially or spiritually or emotionally, we have to consider those things. But, you know, that's a foundational touchstone. We're to give our life and not be worried about losing our lives.
Yeah, or losing time or whatever. I mean, sometimes people say that time is the most valuable thing we have and we can give that to others. And there was a beautiful statement that was given to me by Sister Nancy Hummel years ago. And talking about waiting, and she said, these may not be her exact words, but she said, if someone, you know, says they'll pick you up at a certain time here or there, and, you know, it's 30 minutes or they don't show up at all, she says, I just make the assumption that something that was much more important than me and picking up me is happening in their lives. And I so appreciated that perspective. That we are not the most important thing at any given moment. And, that perspective has been so helpful to me. I appreciated that. Sister Joan, and then we'll come over to Sister Debbie.
One of the scriptures was given, it's a gift to me from Tim Thomason.
Mm.
And it's, Philippians 4:9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is good, of good report, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Thank you.
Amen. That's on my page here too. What a great list as a touchstone as we make our decisions day by day, moment to moment. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Sister Debbie.
Yes, thank you. Just a brief comment. On the way to Albuquerque, Jim and I were reflecting on Brother Tim, and that's actually the scriptures that came to our mind, because he truly did reflect that. Anyway, my scripture, and also it's Marla Homokas, we share the same one, John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The harvest message it's my foundation for this time that I'm living in, and not being raised in the truth, maybe that contrast is something that I've really been blessed with, maybe you too, Brother Tom, and I know for Jim and I, many in our class, because we weren't raised in the truth, this becomes our cornerstone. Thank you.
Thank you. We can go to Brother Jim next. And we could have a whole study on that scripture, especially on the second part, the truth shall make you free. What does that mean? Exploring that freedom that comes from knowing what is true. Wow, we could have a whole day discussion on that. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this one was given yet or not, but it's always a big touchstone for me is that Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths.
Excellent. Very, very good. Thank you. Proverbs is such a wealth of guidance for the Christian. And that's one of the everyone's favorite. Yeah. Don't lean to our own understanding. Any other hands? If not, I see a hand raised online. They're connected by telephone, so it just shows a phone number. I don't know who it is, but if Brother Dan could unmute, go ahead.
Hi, Brother Tom. This is Brother Terry Meyer. And it's interesting that the brother who just spoke mentioned Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, because that was my scripture also. And I just want to say how much I appreciate all of the thoughts and the comments and really the testimonies of the brethren. It's been wonderful to hear their scriptures and their thoughts. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 from the very beginning of my Christian walk has been my go-to scripture for choices and issues and decisions. You know, trust not in your own understanding. Well, it comes to that quite often in daily circumstances for me, as I'm sure it does, excuse me, for most of us. And to trust him and to acknowledge him and let him direct our paths and our life and our actions. And one of the other scriptures that I really enjoy and use as a touchstone is the scripture, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." And oftentimes I think about, well, how would our Lord act in this situation? What action or decision would he make? And I try to go back and recall circumstances in his life, how he interacted with the apostles and his disciples, how he interacted with the middle class and the lepers and the poor people, and his personal contact with all manner of beings, rulers or whoever he came in contact with, and try to recall his words, the words that the Father gave him, and the works that he did, and just try to use that as a guideline to make my own decisions in my daily walk. So thank you for that very much. The Lord bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Terry. And yes, if we can know Jesus so well, and that's why we had the topic we did last night, understanding what Jesus' heart was like. If we know him that well, we have that mind of Christ in us. We have the heart likeness of Jesus, so that helps us in our daily walk. Thank you, Brother Terry. And I think, watching the time, I'm going to go on to the fourth question. What does "seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness" mean to you in practical application in daily life? How does that help you decide daily issues? Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Brother Ralph in the back, and then Sister Catherine.
When I use that scripture, I start out good in the morning. Everything goes in line. If you keep your mind stayed upon the Lord, it helps in all your ventures and all your sayings and all your confrontations, everything. Over.
Yes. When we're told to pray without ceasing, I think the practical application for me is to remain in constant communion with my Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus as often as I can throughout the day. When there's a moment that there's nothing else being needed to be thought of, be talking to them. Mm-hmm. Yes, Sister Catherine.
Well, excuse me. One of the things that I've been working on and thinking about in a relationship to seeking first the kingdom, the scripture is in Philippians 4. It didn't get read. 9 and also 11. No, excuse me, 11 and 13. So it says, "Now what I speak respect of want, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content." Mm-hmm. And that's where I've been really struggling over the last couple of years, and trying to just be content with what's, you know, and know that it's the Lord's will. And then the 13th verse says, this is the antithesis of it, and it's what gives it so much power. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." So that's where I'm personally working on, to be content and know that Christ will help me with everything that I need to make my calling election sure.
Thank you.
And take care of other things.
Thank you. Yeah, just learning contentment. Yes. Sister Kim.
When I was younger, my grandma and my dad told me constantly, you cannot start your day without prayer and seeking the Lord first. And when I was younger, I want to say I was almost a little rebellious, thinking, oh, I think I can, and then I can eventually pray throughout the day. And as I've gotten older and as I've gotten closer to the Lord, I've realized what beautiful advice my dad and my grandma taught me at a very young age, to seek him first thing. My dad used to say, before your feet hit the ground running, is how he used to say it to me. Go to him first thing. And now that I'm sending these scriptures out, that is exactly what I'm doing in the morning. And yesterday I shared that it started with one scripture. I'm up to about 43 scriptures every morning that I send out. And I said to Derek as a joke the other day, kind of as a joke, I said, boy, if anything does happen to me, I'm going to have to tell you how I do this on my phone, because nobody would even understand or the beginning. I have no notes. I have nothing. I just have what I do on my phone each morning. So that's why I love the morning resolve too, because I think it puts the perspective and the right priorities on each and every day, how we need to begin the day. Thank you.
Okay, that's a good application. Seeking first thing in the day. Yeah, doing those things. And there are all kinds of ministries that we can feel called to and create, as the one you just described. So, yes, there are many ways to serve and minister to the spiritual family. Any other comments? Lacking hands, and I'm going to go to question 5. When I've led the study before, they said this is the hardest one. I can't read your lips. Oh, thank you. Sister Linda.
Hi, I'm Linda Lee. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm from the Vancouver Ecclesia, and my scripture is this that came into my mind at a very pivotal moment in my life. It says, love is long-suffering. It's Corinthians 13, 4-8. Love is long-suffering and kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag, does not get puffed up, does not behave indecently, does not look for its own interests, does not become provoked. It does not keep account of the injury. It does not rejoice over unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. You know, Jim Parkinson the other day asked me, what do you think the Apostle Paul was praying for 3 times? And I felt it was for the congregation and not his eyesight. And a brother pointed out, well, why would he pray for that? And that's a good point. And I had to really think about that. And then I realized when I thought about it, I have a son who was in a car accident and he was never the same afterward. And I prayed that he would come back as he was before because he was really special and he never did. And I would never dream of asking Jehovah God to take the burden of looking after him off me. But it has been this scripture in Proverbs that helped me. And it's Proverbs 19:17. And it says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again.
Mm.
You know, my son is not able to walk properly anymore. I've had to endure all kinds of things from people in authority, and I've had to really fight for his freedoms and for, you know, they put him on so much medications he didn't know who he was. There's many things that I've had to fight for, and it's been a difficult road, but it's also been a learning road. And now I feel, you know, he's at peace and I do the best for him that I can. It's not his time now to be the way he was before. His time is in the new system. And I always think of that scripture on love because that's what we have to apply in our everyday life in many different situations. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Linda. Yes. It comes down to what we need to seek to do is learning how to love as God loves and as our Lord Jesus loves. And sometimes we're in challenging situations to do that. And my wife and I in different ways can relate to the challenges you're talking about. So we're going to go on to this last question. We'll kind of invite this with the minutes we have remaining to be a little bit of a popcorn type of response. But in one word, what good quality would you like others to know you for? If you were striving and focusing on one good quality, what is that? What's that word? And if you have a scripture that illustrates that, if you wanted to be summed up and known by one word, what would it be? Sister Brenda.
Compassion.
Compassion.
And a scripture is Ephesians 4:32 is be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you.
Thank you. Sister Sandy. Thank you. Joy. Okay. Brother Jerry.
Kindness.
Kindness, yes. You've probably heard me say in discourses before that I was at a training session and the trainer says there are three rules for effective communication. The first rule is to be kind. The second rule is to be kind. And the third rule is to be kind. Yes. Brother Scott.
Yes, another fruit of the Spirit. Especially on my line of work with young people, gentleness.
Gentleness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a poster that I think was given to me by somebody one time, and it says, there is nothing so strong as gentleness and nothing as gentle as real strength. I love that wisdom. Yes. Gentleness. Thank you. Yes.
Loving.
Loving. That kind of sums it all up, doesn't it? Thank you. Very good. Do you have any scripture you want to mention with that? Okay. Thank you. Loving. Yes. I'm sorry. Sometimes I blank on names.
Sister Vicky.
Thank you.
Humble.
Humble.
Yeah. Where was I? Well, I'll just say humble. I lost the verse. So, oh, no. Oh, yeah. Matthew 18:4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah. humble is such a beautiful characteristic. And sorry if I inject a little humor into it. I always think of that line in the song, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." I forget who sang that or whatever, but yeah, we're striving for perfection, but we're not there. Humility is the thing we need to have now.
Mac Davis.
Mac Davis. Okay. Thank you.
When you look in the mirror and you get better looking each day. Yeah. Yeah, I know that's, it's a joke in our home. So anyways, I was going to say honest, to be honest.
Be honest.
And the scriptures, Proverbs 21:3, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead.
Peaceful.
Peaceful. Oh, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Mm. Thank you. Peaceful.
Sister Jan, trustworthy.
Oh, Sister Jan, trustworthy. Very good. You can find lots of scriptures to go along with that. Yep. Sister Debbie.
Hope, by whom also we have access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
Now, my favorite singer-songwriter has a song that I like, and the title of the song is Hope Dies Last. It's the last thing to die. We hang on to hope that things can be better, that it'll turn out okay or whatever. Hope is such a powerful emotion in our lives that can keep us going when everything else is falling apart around us. Thank you. Hope is beautiful. Any last one? Sister Pat. We'll take Pat and maybe one more, and then we'll have to end this. But I thank you for your participation.
Thankful.
Thankful.
And the scripture for that would be 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God of in Christ concerning you. And I think that really helps when things come to your door that are unexpected. With a thankful heart, you can look for the blessings in that experience.
Yeah.
And you get the strength and the grace.
Amen. Yes. Thank you. Last opportunity for one more if anybody wants to. Ah, okay. We'll take Sister Bobby online. Sister Bobby. And you need to unmute, I guess.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
You have to unmute twice in order to get through. Sorry. I'm going to repeat one that's been done, and that is loving. I want to be known as a loving sister in Christ who loves my brethren and everybody else who comes in my life, to know that I've cared about them. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Over.
Thank you, Sister Bobby. Loving. Well, thank you, brethren, for your participation in this. Thank you, Brother Jerry, for putting that label on it, which was the very purpose. I believe self-assessment is a good thing for all of us to do from time to time. And I think it's valuable to do it in a group, to know one another better, to get inspiration from one another, and hearing those different kinds of expression from each other. So may the Lord bless us all as we strive to serve him.